Hey Trojans, welcome back to General Education. I'm your host, Grace Ingram, and let's get right into it. USC celebrated the grand opening of their new sustainability hub Wednesday at the Student Union with speeches, sustainability booths, and of course with the cutting of a big red ribbon. Construction on the sustainability hub lasted almost a full year as crews worked to renovate what was formerly USC Pharmacy. Now, instead of dispensing medicine, the room will be used to dispense students with the latest news and knowledge on the university's sustainability initiatives. Chief Sustainability Officer Mick Dalrymple described the hub as a, quote, symbolic and physical home for Assignment Earth, unquote. Assignment Earth is the university's official sustainability agenda. It keeps track of how USC is doing from a sustainability perspective, and it spearheads efforts like installing solar energy panels on graduate student housing. Events like lectures and brown bag lunch campaigns will be hosted at the hub. Also, a new cohort of postdoctoral fellows were hired, and they'll be working on sustainability-related projects that tackle topics like human health and well-being. Anyone from the USC community is free to use this space. It gives students an opportunity to learn about sustainability here at USC and beyond. Speeches, held just before the grand opening, touted the university's green initiatives, from the installation of solar panels to LED retrofitting to USC's plan to become a zero-waste campus by 2028. Above all else, the hub is supposed to help connect students to the environment. It incorporates images, colors, and sounds that remind people of nature and reflects the hub's end goal, which is to help make student connections. Here to talk about their article on the subject is Mateo Villaba-Mutis and Nathan Elias. Mateo, Nathan, thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So I first wanted to know what the process was like reporting on this story.
It was a little weird because at first these are two completely separate articles. What happened was, I think 2 weeks ago, somebody from USC PR reached out and said, hey, we have Mick Dalrymple and Zelinda Welch, both from USC Sustainability. They said, we have them for like 40 minutes and we want to give you an interview. It's called an embargoed interview. Basically, they give us information ahead of time, but they say specifically when we can release the article. So they gave us the interview and we did that. And then afterwards we realized that we're going to do an article like 2-3 days later about the opening of the sustainability hub. So we think, okay, why don't we combine the two? And so that's basically what started it. And if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Just like adding on to what Nathan said, it was a little weird because like what they embargoed was just like solar panels on top of the village like roofs, which I guess is like, I don't know. It could have been a little more interesting for an embargo, but the sustainability hub event itself was like, it was sort of set up like a club fair kind of thing. So you had like a bunch of booths with like RSOs and different like faculty came in with their own projects and stuff and what they brought to the sustainability hub as well. And it was a lot of fun. You know, I got to meet a lot of like-minded people, you know, talking about climate activism, and Carol Folt made an appearance. You know, it was the first time I like saw her in person. So that was also pretty fun.
Can you tell us a little bit more about Assignment Earth?
Yeah, so if I remember correctly, Assignment Earth came out in 2022. And so what happened was, I think this, well, to give a little bit of context, so basically in 2015, USC released its first like sustainability agenda, which is basically saying we're gonna do this, this, and this by this certain date. Some of the goals were like to decrease like water use by, let's say 10-15%, I'm not sure exactly, but it's things like that. So 2015 and 2020, that happened, and that was like a really short-term goal. So then after that, they start planning. And then in the middle of that planning, Folt comes in, becomes president in 2019. And so they developed this like presidential working group on sustainability. So that's also planning for that. So 2022 was the date that the Assignment Earth launched. And that's saying like, try to think. It's definitely, they say climate neutrality by 2025. Climate neutrality by 2025. Which means that basically carbon emissions are neutral. So what USC is putting out is like canceled out by any other like projects and stuff that they do. Zero waste, I think by 2028, which is like 90% waste diversion. So waste is going to like recycle, to compost, to things like that. Decreasing water use by 20% or something like that by 2028. And so Assignment Earth, you see like there's like yellow posters everywhere. So that's talking about zero waste. It's like a whole like advertising apparatus. It's like a lot of different stuff, but it's all USC's efforts on sustainability are not one umbrella.
Okay, so Nathan, you've basically followed USC's progress in sustainability for a while. Could you sort of walk us through USC's sustainability work since you started covering it and where the hub fits into all of this?
Yeah, so I started April of last year. I just kind of fell into, it was Earth Month, and so we were doing like Earth Month coverage, and so I was assigned this one article. What happened was in, I think it was 2018, there's a lot of, well, over time, there was a lot of students really concerned about how the 2015 to 2020 plan was like not substantial enough. It was too short term. The goals were kind of modest. And so students were protesting and things like that. And so even there's a section of the Academic Senate, which is made up of faculty that are, I think, part of it. And so they had a sustainability committee within that, and they released their own plan to kind of guide the university's efforts with the target date of 2030. And so what the original assignment was for me to compare the 2030 plan with the now 2028 plan, which is we were talking about earlier, the framework. The vision for that one changed a bit because I think it was like, we couldn't really ground it in the current moment. It was too past because the Assignment Earth had already come out a year before that. So what happened was I ended up looking at carbon offsets, which is, to keep it like short, what happened is carbon offset is any kind of project that an organization funds in order to offset their own emissions. Offset meaning you get carbon neutrality. So any emissions that you're continuing to do, you offset and you have a net zero emission based on that. So I was kind of looking at what the university was doing with that because they're really controversial. It's kind of a new field. It's kind of hard to verify whether the offsets you're funding are actually doing anything to the environment. And then in general, also, people are frustrated that you can basically pay your way out of stopping harmful practices. So I was looking at that. And so what university had done at the time was they released a report from the Presidential Working Group, which is basically, you know, benchmarking what other institutions were doing, other universities, how they were picking the right offsets, and just kind of creating frameworks to make it less of an ambiguous process. So that was the first article I did. That report had come out, I think, January 2023, if I'm correct. Since then, I think some of the landmark things that I've noticed is really just Sustainability Hub. So a big theme of that article that I was trying to push was that 2022 was kind of a landmark moment because they finally put this big, the messaging was huge, the goals were more substantial in 2022 in Assignment Earth. So what we see in 2023 is kind of a building off of that. Now sustainability is built more into the culture. You see the signs, now we have like a physical space on campus, like right at the center of campus. So that's kind of the biggest change that I saw, but there's always more that we can do. And I think carbon offsets is one of the things that, especially student groups, I was talking with somebody from the Environmental Student Association. He was telling me that was one of the biggest things they still have their eye on because obviously you're just paying your way out of canceling all these harmful practices.
You mentioned USC looking at other universities and how their emissions sized up. From your research, how does USC compare in emissions and sustainability to these other universities?
The way to address that question is the 2030 plan that the sustainability community created, I want to say they kind of went and did their own assessment and benchmarking of the our university against all the other ones. And basically what they found was that in 2022, it was absolutely horrendous. USC, it was like they made a graph and like, let's say you have like a line. All the other universities like near the middle, like they had okay progress. USC was the only one that was like near the back. And that was around 2014. So 2015, 2016 gets a little better, but 2028 is really the time where we say we're going to get, you know, carbon neutrality, we're going to get zero waste, because before that they said we'll decrease our waste by like this much and we'll decrease, I don't know if they said an exact date for carbon neutrality, I don't remember off the top of my head. So that was a little better, and I think actually now if you look at if you compare the different dates for carbon neutrality and things like that, USC is kind of ahead of the curve because from a lot of the graphs you're seeing, I can't name specific universities off the top of my head, but there's like dates like 2030, 2040, and then again, we don't know if USC, well actually, one thing I think I should specify is that because we're looking at carbon offsets, we will reach our goal by 2025. What happens is they'll do their best to reduce emissions and then pay off the rest of the offsets. So we'll hit that number. So the biggest thing to note is that that's kind of not ahead of the curve because there's already maybe 20 universities that are carbon neutral, but it's in a good footing compared to where it was in the past. And the last thing I'll say about that is that different universities have different capabilities of how they can reach these different goals. For example, carbon neutrality if you're in kind of like a location where there's better access to solar, there's more space basically, so you can put more solar panels and it's a lot easier to hit carbon neutrality. USC, I guess, since it's such a dense campus, what happens is they're purchasing a lot of their electricity instead, and so I guess that's limiting them a little bit, but obviously there's a lot more they can do.
So going back to the opening of the Sustainability Hub, Mateo, so you attended. Can you tell me more about what that event was like? And did you sort of sense a theme in the speeches that were made?
Yeah, so obviously, like Nathan said, there was a lot more substantial, you know, goals in both Carol Folt's and Mick Dalrymple's speeches. They both outlined their goals and sustainability plans for the next couple of years. I got to speak to Facilities Planning and Management about their zero waste goals, and I think one of the things that stood out to me was, you know, how organized they seem about the whole thing. They have a plan to implement the new compost recycling and like water liquid waste bins, you know, everywhere around campus and not just, you know, at RTCC and other, you know, locations, you know, on Trousdale. They also have a plan to implement a I don't know bin, which is like you throw away trash that you're not really sure about, and well, they'll take that information and use like the items or most commonly thrown away items to educate people about where they should throw it away. One of the things I learned was that Starbucks cups are actually not compostable because they're mixed with plastic, so they have to be thrown away in the trash. And yeah, it was really fun to learn about you know, FPM's goals for 2028 and zero waste, and I got to speak a lot to student organizations like Woodlums. You know, they're working to implement climate activism at the, you know, local level in LAUSD with like a bunch of elementary schoolers and teaching them about, you know, climate change and how to garden, stuff like that. Additionally, I got to speak to the Environmental Student Association, and you know, they were talking about how they're trying to get a petition for USC to stop accepting money from, you know, fossil fuel companies into specific departments, you know, like Chevron or something. There was also a student speaker at the event, JJ Flores. They have a history of climate activism, you know, coming from their high school. They had implemented some like water refill stations, and that was pretty successful, and LAUSD started implementing that across their district. So I'm not exactly sure what they were doing, what they're doing currently, but I'm sure it's something big.
And I think what I really want to know now is what can we as students do to help with this sustainability initiative just at our level?
Yeah, just make sure you're, you know, throwing away stuff in the right receptacles. You know, obviously, like, look at the signage. Just take a moment and step back. Start sorting out stuff before you throw it away. Because also what Facilities Planning and Management has said was that most of the stuff that, you know, goes in the trash is can either be, you know, compostable or recyclable, and, you know, they're not going to start, like at the trash facility, all they do is, you know, they have, like, a large conveyor belt, and sometimes, like, the larger items that are obviously recyclable, like big plastic stuff or, you know, big organic waste is sorted, but most of the stuff just ends up in a landfill, and the best we can do right now is just to organize that here just so it doesn't end up at a landfill later.
Yeah, building off of that, if you look at the most recent sustainability survey, you'll notice that the, like, basically the average score for sustainability behavior and culture actually went down between this year and last year. I think it was by 3%, which isn't huge, but that basically shows that doing things like, you know, joining, you know, let's say it's beach cleanups or like any kind of environmentally focused effort, you know, sorting waste. I will credit the university. There's a lot of signage nowadays. They put composting bins in a lot of the university housing. So sorting your waste, reducing, you know, your shower times. They have shower timers in the residential housing. Those are some things that students can do. But another thing I'll add is that if you look at the history of like USC sustainability, a lot of that was pushed by student protests. For example, I think there's like a Trojan Shop local website where they link a bunch of local businesses that where you can shop local and shop like, you know, high quality groceries and things like that. That was launched by, I think, the BSA. BSA stands for Black Student Association. And then you see the ESA, the Environmental Student, they ran a climate strike on the day of Carol Folt's inauguration. They were kind of pushing for it. There was a club called Go Solar USC or something like that. And they back in, I want to say 2014, started protesting USC to start putting solar panels. USC has solar panels now. There was a different organization called Divest SC, which was telling USC to divest its fossil fuel initiatives. USC announced that USC will divest its fossil fuel initiative. So another thing, another huge thing that USC students can do is just, you know, keep voicing their concerns on what the university can do. And, you know, if we're lucky, they'll actually listen. I'll leave it off by saying I was interviewing a professor for my carbon offsets article a really long time ago. And he was telling me when he was a member of the Academic Senate Sustainability Committee and they released a 2030 report. Around that time, there really wasn't a lot of administrative, or let's say before 2014, because at least they had released a plan by 2015. But they didn't have a lot of administrative support for sustainability. So a lot of them were concerned about it, but couldn't really find an advocate in administration. He told me literally that the best resource that they thought they had was student activism. Even them as faculty, they thought they were so powerless, the best resource they had was students. So students raising their voice does something.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In her speech at the Sustainability Hub's grand opening, President Carol Folt expressed her excitement for USC's future of fostering awareness and change concerning sustainability.
We're celebrating today was an early dream, and it was a dream by a lot of our students and our staff in particular, and then of course all of us coming along. But they wanted a place to gather, to collaborate, and share a love of the natural world. And here we are. And what's so meaningful to me is that this is a student union. It has all students coming in and out all the time from every area. Now they can all collaborate with each other and on this shared passion for sustainability.
This episode was hosted by Grace Ingram, written by Quentin Seegers, Claire Chu, and Grace Ingram. Edited by Kevin Gramling. Produced by Jonathan Park, Christina Shikarbel, and Grace Ingram. General Education is one of four shows on the Daily Trojan Podcast Network. You can find more episodes anywhere you listen to podcasts, as well as our website, dailytrojan.com. Visit the episode description for our links and more information.